down there, we made determinations, we engaged, made recommendations. You went to the house, you presented those recommendations. Now there are decisions. So those are the issues that we are going to use as to check as to whether we are satisfied. I think the guiding principle is that as long as the minimum standard in terms of those recommendations are met, we might consider that review and express our determination, which I might not have it because the members must engage on that before we do that. But let me just introduce myself, even if we know each other, colleagues, for formal recording. My name is Humphrey Matong Mohobi, Chairperson of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and I would ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. And, yeah.
Morning, Chair. I'm Dennis Joseph.
Good morning, I'm Chetan Mufukem from the Free State.
Morning, Tunga Matila from Gauteng.
We should allow even our staff to just to be known.
Morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Langa Mashangeni. I'm working for the South African Parliament as a researcher on all issues of local government and traditional leadership and governance. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Moses Manela, the committee official. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kosana Mfoko. I'm the content advisor for the Select Committee on Health.
Good morning. My name is Bradley Falun. I'm the administrative support staff to the committee.
Morning, I'm Virgaz Nasilik. I'm the Parliamentary Manager in the Office of the Auditor General.
No, thanks, Chair. My name is Kopu Radigwandani, the Head of the Department for COPTA in the Free State.
Good morning, my name is Schoti Cornelius Bolelo. I am the General Manager for HIV, AIDS, TB, Sexually Transmitted Diseases and Partnership in the Department of Health. Former administrator of Tabu Mfuzanya.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Tebo Hotaka. I'm a director in the Department of COPTA, Free State.
Good morning, Chairperson and members and colleagues. My name is Patu Komo. I'm the chief director responsible for local governance in the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs in the Northwest Province.
Thank you very much for introductions. I'm told the province that is ready now is Free State to make a presentation. However, I'll just make a few remarks that are concerned on behalf of members. Question of delegation is not as we expected. Our directive was that we would need, while we welcome the HOD, it's fine. We also wanted MEC, mayors, chief whip, and the speakers, plus the MM, for a particular reasons. However, we would allow the presentation to go on, but members wanted to express that.
I agree. That's the point we wanted to raise. We are saying this because it is not for the first time that the Free State is doing this to us. And the last meeting was postponed. Also, we thought when they are coming today, there will be a full delegation because of the nature of the problems that were there in those specific areas. You see. I don't want to say that the undermining of this committee is continuing from the Free State, and we think it must be seriously noted, and I think this committee must write a letter to the Free State and indicate it must go to the Premier of the Free State and indicate our dissatisfaction with what is happening there. Thank you, Chair.
MS was for Northwest. It was not directed at Free State. However, it was also 11, even though it was not directed them. We just have to make that balance. But then we'll allow honorable. Oh, by the way, are you honorable? Are you your worship? How do they call you at management?
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Our delegation was constituted as requested. My MEC just missed an 8 o'clock flight. And she wanted to get on the 11 o'clock flight, and I indicated to her that it will not be helpful. She will find this house having adjourned. So we constituted as invited Chairperson. We're not aware that we are supposed to bring mayors and so on to this meeting. So the apology that I just want to put to the House is that of our MEC, who has even founded a committee to indicate that she's missed her flight this morning. Chairperson, I have basically also invited the person who was the administrator in Thabo Mfuzanyana to be part of this meeting, so that we can then be able to give you our report. The honourable member indicates that the meeting was postponed, and my MEC and I were in Cape Town when the meeting was postponed by this committee to say that they will not be able to see us on Thabo Mfuzanyana especially. So we were here in the last meeting that was postponed on very short notice when we came a day before. But Chairperson, I will proceed with our report. We did
we're sitting in a meeting where we're supposed to listen to the Free State. Or was it the Northwest? I'm not sure. Where we're informed that the province is no longer coming. In that meeting, is it Northwest? And then I will apologize if I mentioned the Free State, because I know we're sitting in a meeting, and that was the situation.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you. We've been invited to deal with specifically Thabo Mfuzanyana. Honorable Chair, you will know that three of our municipalities were put almost simultaneously under Section 139, Nala, Masilonyana, and Thabo Mfuzanyana district. We generally went out of Thabo Mfuzanyana, I think in July 2010, already. This is a municipality where we were there for a considerable, reasonable time. The rest of these other municipalities were only exited now in September. So the intervention started on the 4th of November 2009, Chairperson. And we've already indicated that this was after a special report on the status quo of our municipalities in the province, and the issue of the Thabo Mfuzanyana became very relevant in relation to this. And we were aware that the municipality is to function effectively as a district municipality, to render services and support its locals. Most of its Section 56 managers' posts were vacant. And we are aware that the municipality was not able to attend to current municipal financial and administrative challenges that were experienced at that municipality at that time. So generally, the council was failing to execute its executive obligation due to the failure of the municipality to function properly. And we also at that time had a very serious conflict between the municipal manager and the chief financial officer, who then resigned also simultaneously and created a further vacuum in the municipality. There were various issues that were raised by the Executive Council, and in September 2010, we presented our exit report to the Executive Council of the Free State, which then agreed to terminate Section 139 already. By end of July, I think that was in June 2010, and then by end of July, then the administrator had to leave Thabo Mfuzanyana July 2010. Key issues that the provincial government had looked at when they basically decided to take the municipality was that
number of outstanding issues. The first one on the municipal transformation and institutional development. We know that the municipality was unable for a long time to finalize its annual performance report, and this was basically finalized with the assistance of the administrator on May 2010. There were also issues of outstanding service delivery and budget implementation plans, 208-209-2010, and this were finalized with the work that the administrator did there, supported by the department. There were also an issue that there has been a lot of vacancies of all the Section 56 managers in the municipality. Now, at the time of our exit, already three of those had been appointed. The municipal manager had been appointed. The CFO had been appointed. The cooperative services had been appointed. There were also issues in relation to IDP and budget processes there that were adopted on time by council after this intervention. Chairperson, you would know that there were also issues around an outstanding municipal infrastructure funding, which was available in the district at the time when the district was still administering MIC. So at the time of the exit there, the amount of MIG was spent, and there was only a finalized amount of the oxidation dams in Zamani, Mieme, that were supposed to have been spent, which were still outstanding on the budget of the district on municipal infrastructure grant. From there going forward, the district, I think since 2009 now, has not been receiving any MIG grants. Now this funding was going directly to municipalities. By end of July, when we exited there, we had completed that sewer network in Zamani, and also the oxidation dams were completed, and that retention funding was available, was there for the amount left for to finalize those dams in Zamani. Whilst we were of a view that there was also a component responsible for LED, which we're supposed to have made some people available to deal with this amount of work, there was still, as we exited, the post of the LED manager was not yet filled, and we were basically working with other stakeholders to deal, like the Department of Trade and Industry, the Free State Tourism, which was assisting basically the SMMEs in the district as well, including the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, which continue to assist the municipality to meet the legislative mandate around some of these issues. The municipality itself is now complying with processes in relation to MFMA, processes which they were unable to support quite clearly. The processes of being able to send out their Section 71 processes on time. Draft budget was finalized as we had indicated. And at that time, we were also working on the action plan to deal with all the AG reports. At our exit, Chairperson, the municipality was able to receive a clean audit, or not a clean audit, but an unqualified report for the financial year 2009-2010, which were to indicate that we were able to address a lot of those outstanding issues there. We were working there with our provincial treasury, and we had appointed also KPMG to assist us in supporting Thabo Mofutsanyane there. Obviously, we raised issues around the supply chain management issues, which were not followed in the municipality over time. We put systems in place. We were able then to also have officials relevant dealing with supply chain in that particular municipality. And now it's very important that a lot of issues now have to go through supply chain. And the new municipal manager has just taken over from that process in the municipality. There were issues around whether we are able to engage the people quite well. That has been done with the public participation officers being able to assist in this process, including capacity of the Office of the Speaker to deal with community development workers and the ward committees as well. And there were also a lot of processes around the municipality being unable to deal with IDPs, and that we were able to deal with these issues quite clearly as the process went on. Chair, you will know that there was also a very controversial transaction with Kurt Bolski, who was commissioned to try and recoup the levies, outstanding levies for plus minus 720 cases in the district, and basically they continue to work in relation to this. At the visit of the NCOP, this Podbolski had by then been paid, I think, close to 16 million by the municipality. And this is one part of those areas that were to be subjected to forensic investigation by the national department. Now, at the process that we engaged in was that Podbolski had also summoned people that are outside the jurisdiction of the municipality, which led to a number of court cases in relation to these issues. But we could not at that moment simply drop this Podbolski at that moment, because he had files, and we thought that he should be able to work through this file, because already we had a high court case pending to be able to defend the municipality around those farmers who were also objecting that the municipality must be able to amend all the summons that they had put forth. And obviously we were in a dilemma because the court had upheld the objection of the farmers. We went on an appeal, and as we went on an appeal, we were able to get at least an opportunity to be given an opportunity to amend our summons so that they are consistent and not null and void as those of Tshwane Metro were declared by Gauteng High Court chairperson. As I've indicated, the ruling was granted, and we also are waiting further, because the farmers had appealed, and this appeal will be in the Supreme Court of Appeal during this month of November, as I've heard. Well, by the 30th of June 2011, Jefferson, this firm had submitted bills to the tune of 16 million for professional services rendered, and since our intervention in the municipality, we ensure that there are no further payments that have been made to this firm. But however, we had to keep them afloat so that they are able to still contend our matter in the High Court, because it would have been serious cost to the municipality if we didn't do so. So we gradually paid a million rand for the 4 months, so that we could only pay for those costs incurred in the court litigation and not to pay any costs anymore to this firm. And basically we are awaiting this outcome of the appeal. We are waiting with the district municipality so that we can then ensure that we actually are able to claim our costs in relation to this. If you remember, Chairperson, there was an indication that there was an earlier firm appointed by the municipality, which the municipality summarily fired and paid them 2 million. And this Podbolski basically took over from this Takamwaha firm that was appointed. So we managed in that situation, and from our side, we will not continue to ensure that the municipality incur expenses on this firm. There were also issues made on the recommendations by the NCOP. After there has been an engagement with the Free State member of the Executive Council, then Ms. Zwane, and the district, that the administrator should fast track the process of appointing the Section 56 managers, and therefore it indicated that the municipal manager has been appointed with effect from June 2010, and the manager of corporate services and chief financial officer were appointed from the 1st August 2010. To try and stabilize the processes there. The NCOP did indicate that it will summon the former municipal manager of Thabo Mfutsanyana, accompanied by my MEC, then MEC Zwane, who was also former mayor, executive mayor of Thabo Mfutsanyana district, to appear before the NCOP in order to explain and give details on the allegations that were made on maladministration, misappropriation of funds, during this term of former municipal manager as a municipal manager there. The NCOP also directed that the Premier should interact with the National Minister, Honorable Sikelo Sikwega, to investigate all the allegations that were there, and that the independent independent forensic audit be conducted by National Minister, basically on the basis that our MEC then could be seen to be subjective because he was the former executive mayor of this district. And we, from our side as the department, finalized through KPMG a scoping report on this municipality, and I submitted personally this report to the DG National so that they could actually be able to take it from there. So we shared that scoping report with COCTA National. The SCOP also indicated that they would encourage that SALCA and the local government, CETA, and ourselves should foster relations between all structures, that we are able to deal with matters of capacity building, and also to ensure that on matters of training there's a single window of coordination. We have ensured that we share this report with the stakeholders involved. We've shared this with SALCA Free State. We've also given the copy to SALCA National and have an engagement with our sister departments in the province, not only with local government CETA, but also our sector departments in the province, so that we could then look at how best are we going to be able to support this municipality both political and administratively. There was an issue that we need to ensure that the provincial treasury is able to secure funding, but at the moment, Chairperson, there has not been any funding secured from provincial treasury for this purpose. But the administrator had to ensure that we are able to streamline and bring about austerity measures in relation to funding in this municipality so that they can be able to survive on their equitable share. There was also an indication that this intervention should continue for a period of 6 months, but however, the intervention lasted till the 30th of September 2010 due to vacancies. We had to ensure that we appoint the municipal manager and those other relevant officials, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I will allow members to engage with the report.
Thank you, Chair Dennis Joseph. I just want clarity on the delegation referring to Section 56, and we refer to Section 57. I think for the record, we should just clarify that.
Any other question or whatever?
Chair, just need some clarity because there seems to be, in terms of the report given to us here, is that Mzambi, this Posboski Mzambi company, has been paid approximately an amount of 4 million. Is that so, eh? My understanding is there was a report done by a committee of councillors which speaks about two different committee in council in Tabofusa, which speaks about two different amounts paid to this specific company. Yeah? One speaks about 6 point something million, the other one speaks about 30 million. You know? I'm just saying, you know, there are these issues coming up. You know, we're getting this version. And we also know that there's this council report, which was tabled in council and adopted in council. See? That speaks about something different, you know. Now, I'm not sure as to, because it then takes us to this specific point. You know, it's around collecting levies. Yeah. You know? And this specific company, Chair, has been paid so much money, and I'm talking about the same period you're referring us to. Whilst receiving this amount of money, could not even collect half of or even a quarter of what they've paid this particular company. But, you know, the problem I'm trying to find out first is the difference, you know, of the two reports. It's why this difference, you know, if
if councillors have reported in council and adopted a report, and you come to us here and give us a different report. No, we're not sure who is telling us the truth there. You see? And if you can be clarified by that, because if something was adopted in council, and the province comes here and gives us something different, how do we deal with that situation?
Is that the only comment or questions? Okay, can you respond?
No, Chair, the amount that we are listing, by which we have paid, this is the amount of money that we assisted the municipality to pay ourselves now when they were already under Section 139. But they had already paid, through their own process, they had paid Bulbulski 6 million. Now, ours was to, they paid him for work done, as they called it, and there was 16 million outstanding at the time of the intervention. We said we are not going to pay the 16 million, which is outstanding, but we are going to try and ensure that we don't abandon the court case, because the court case was on appeal, and if we were either to fire Podbolski and appoint another lawyer, obviously we are going to get them scot-free, because then they were... that the new lawyer was going to buy and to have to get files, pay Podbolski to get files from Podbolski and proceed in court. But we said, let's keep them afloat. Let's pay any cost that will be incurred in the High Court. This is from our side as the provincial government, to keep this process going on. But Mr. Pulelo here will explain slightly better in relation to the exact amount that they had paid already. I'm just talking during the time of intervention because we were directed that we should not pay this firm anymore. We by your intervention until the forensic investigation has been finalized. But from our side, we had to keep the court case going. And there were costs incurred in relation to the High Court case, including the appeal, where we are still maintaining them, but we are paying nothing for work done like the municipality did in the past. So Mr. Pulelo here will explain basically those figures. But from our side as a province, we are referring to this issue of the 4 million, and I think he will elaborate further on that. Chair, the common terminology used is to call managers reporting to the MM as Section 57 manager, but they normally appointed in terms of Section 56. So they are actually Section 56 managers, and 57 is about their performance. So that's basically how we interchangeably use those that terminology on an ongoing basis. But I don't know, Chair, whether you want to give the administrator the opportunity just to assist me in clarifying this matter to honorable members further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. I would like maybe even the question should further be explained in terms of the information that we have so that then I can be able to explain on the matter that occurred. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, maybe let me start here, because the first thing that I would want to understand was in terms of the findings of that specific committee in council, of councillors, one, there was no contract between the municipality and this particular firm. Yeah. And the province come and assist to pay 4 million. Yeah. That's what you're saying. By the end of the, during the financial year 2009-2010, you had already paid 30 point something million to this particular company. This particular company was paid earlier, something like 7 point something million, yeah? And could only bring back to council what they've collected from as levies, yeah? 6 point something million. Now, in essence, what it says, this company has been paid 87 million plus the 4 million that has been paid by the province, né, for them to collect 6 million, you know, for them to, without a contract too. Now, I just wanted that clarity as to why go, one, you don't have a contract, but continuously paying, and they don't bring in returns for council. Né? In actual fact, the council has been milked here. Now, you at some point, in terms of what we've indicated, yeah, there was that forensic audit. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know what has happened. We are indicating that it has been concluded, it has been forwarded to NESMA. Yeah. I'm sure I don't know what
that is the issue. You see? And whilst you're investigating, whilst there's fraud, somebody's continuously paying, you know, this particular company. You see? And we're not sure as to why it's been. And actually, that's the question in as far as this matter is concerned. This issue started around 2008. The intervention happened. Immediately after the intervention, this council continued. It means the administrator continued to pay. Because if by the end of 2010 you are still paying close to 30 million, you know, it means this problem continued during the period of the administrator. And then because that is what we see. And I'm referring to a report in council. I'm referring to what you are giving us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think the issue of both Biski and Mhlambe is quite a vexing issue in terms of where it emanates in terms of the contractual relationships between the municipality and both Biski and the Takangwa. There are three parties here. You've got the municipality, you've got Takangwaha, you've got Port Biski. But Takangwaha was given a contract by the municipality. They were sold a service provider to collect the levies, as was alleged in the report. But due to various issues wherein Takangwaha was alleged to have been slow to implement the collection of the levy, how the Port Biski entered there, that's where the contract issue then is a question. Which question we also asked and say there is no obligation with this company. However, the way they entered through a legal means, through the service provisioning in terms of supply chain management. Then they had to take the files from Takangwa, that is Port Biski. They had to be given files for which Takangwa had to actually claim 2.5. I'm just estimating the amount of money that was claimed for the files that they worked on. And these files then were given to Port Biski without that contract that the Honourable Member is referring to. And which then became the point of issue for us not to pay Port Biski as it was supposed to be paid. I don't recall having paid, actively Port Biski out of that contract besides when we were asking them to assist us, because we had nobody else to assist the municipality in terms of dealing with the extra ordinary issues that were emanating out of the very same contract. There were so many farmers around that area which were litigating the municipality, and wherein there were lots of summons that came into the municipality. Judgment was made against the municipality. Therefore, we engage them on those bases. But in terms of the contract for payment of Takangwaha versus Port Biski, we did not actively pay that because we had our own misgivings to the extent to which we had to extend this to the office of the Premier, where we asked the legal advisor, Mr. Fender, to assist us to actually delve and unpack what is it that the municipality is owing. I think this thing has been going on and on and on and on and on and on. If I have to explain it, it's going to take the whole day. However, what then we did in terms of the contract? Yes, we didn't have a contract with them, obviously. So, because I have looked in the files of the municipality, to find out is there any overt letters that have been written. There was no file. You are correct. But in terms of the legal relationships that we had, then we were actually made to be able to pay certain legal fees to Port Biski. The amounts were increasing every month. You see, to the extent that I personally even wrote and said we were not going to be able to honor some of these because we didn't have money to pay in the first instance. Our equitable share was such that we would not be able to pay them. Then we engaged the Office of the Premier. That is where we are assisted to that extent. Now, the Takangwaha was the legal contractor for service provision, but the previous municipal manager then engaged Podbisky to assist them with the files. They asked what is the company that is called MMS, MMMS. I know this Maluleka, I know this, what's the other name? Siriki and what's the other one? There were MMs and S. So that's a company which was legal, which was subcontracted to the extent to which the contracts were taken out of there. How the amounts were increasing was more on the percentages, was more on other work that is being done by Podbisky. But Podbisky is not a legal company that was supposed to be working there. I agree with the Honourable Member. I think in terms of the legal part of it, that our legal advisor can explain why we continue to engage them, so that then it becomes also clear, legally. Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Just before that, when he explains, you know, he must also give us an explanation that because you had a contract with Takamwa, in terms of their contract, you know, explain as to us, you know, because you see, if you have a contract with a person and he tells you that he can do this job and collect, but how do you, he must explain as to, in terms of that contract, how does the municipality pay more than what they collect, you see, in terms of their contract, because there might be a big breach of contract, there might be, you know, because my worry is the amounts that have been paid out to this business company, that does not produce the fruits.
Maybe just briefly to explain also why I say this is vexing. When Takamwaha was engaged to service the municipality, they were asked to collect X amount of money for which they would be paid 20% for whatever they collect. That's how we can send that contract. The contract was saying for 50, because we expected to collect 50 million. Of the 50 million that was going to be collected, they were supposed to be given 20% of that 50 million. That is Takamwaha. That was the contract. But the Podbisky contract, which I cannot explain, there was no contract. That's why I'm saying that we cannot explain because there was no contract. But in terms of legal issues, as I indicated, which they entered into with the previous municipal manager, we had them to honor that so that the municipality should not be fed and litigated. Hence, I say that they, as I will explain it, I'm not sure if I accepted it.
Okay, can I suggest a way forward? Maybe I'll make a bit of a preamble to say we are from May Local Government Election, and it wants us to pause a bit and say, does May election technically terminated Section 139? You have a new council, new mayors, everything in operation. That's a food for thought for everyone, so that we're able to get together and have an understanding. That's one thing for sure. Does this district meet our minimum standard in terms of what we went there for? The terms of reference sent by provincial executive. I just want to ask members as to whether we see that meeting minimum standards in terms of what we're supposed to be doing at this agenda. That's one thing that we need to, so that we're able to be objective in the outcome of the meeting. But then, the question of the contract is a question that needs to be pursued separately. To me, I don't see a light. I don't have an understanding. But stated here, we must not have that capacity to dig deeper and come to the conclusion of what's going on this one. If I was able to penetrate the minds of the Honorable, I would say, is it not possible don't know legally, we don't have a state law advisor yet, to say, can't we source the services of special investigated units on behalf of the committee on this matter? So that we go deep to check as to whether the public purse was been abused or undermined or whatever. Because I don't see, perfect matter may not have that skill now to prosecute the matter to a situation where it will be able to come to a conclusion that satisfies other members. But I think, to me, we need to take another route, but I would rely heavily on the wisdom of the members on this matter. But on the others, as you speak, must be able to say, in terms of our visit there, we have seen, in terms of those things that we went, in terms of the terms of reverence, the council meeting, appointments done, what, if that done, so that we're able to comply with the constant obligation of Section 137 and take the case and determine as to how do we face with it. That's my view. I want wisdom of honorable members here.
Chair, no, we agree with you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to indicate to yourselves that, yes, in terms of how you outlined it, we agree with you. I think our experience, having moved from Thabamfutshane to other municipalities, our experience was that forensic investigations that do not help, they waste more money for those municipalities. My view would be, yes, in terms of meeting some of the issues that they've met them, but I would like us to persuade the issue around this specific investigation, and we bring in the hawks. Because, you see, my fear, Chair, is that from the intervention to date, in terms of what I've referred to earlier, some of the things were condoned. And in terms of what we found out there in that municipality, it was too scary. Issues were too serious for them to be just easily condoned. And I'm saying, if we bring in the hawks to come in and investigate that situation, we persuade it differently. But yes, we do an oversight, go there, we get a presentation around this specific issue, so that we are able to take the necessary steps to make sure that, this matter is investigated. To me, what I see here, there was no investigation done. These things seem to be clumsy. That's my opinion, Chair. Thank you.
Member.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the terms of references, I agree with you that they have met the minimum standards and they can agree to the upliftment. But, Chairperson, we are dealing with the municipality that was declared in Nodal Point by the former President Thabo Mbeki. And we just can't let go the issue of such a lot of money that cannot be accounted for. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm very much sorry, but I was
here earlier on, and I went to another meeting. I won't agree, Chair, in upliftment of this Section 139. My simple reason is there's a lot of things that is not yet addressed in this. And we must not do the mistake, Chair, in allowing. I understand your question. It's a new municipality with new councillors and what. But let us also start at the right footing with them. I agree with what you are saying. Let us, and with Tate Matila, let us couple both. We go there and we ask the Hawks in the meantime to investigate this thing. But let us, up until we have visited the Free State, we will take that decision of the upliftment there in the Free State. That's my proposal, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to clarify or confirm if the vacant posts, all the critical positions, have been filled. I think that was one of the issues that were raised, because from there, there we would obviously be able to see that all the things that was identified were procedurally been put step by step in place. So I think that's for me important. And then I think there was mentioned make of a forensic investigation, and I'm not sure if that was done. But I think the important part is that the NCOP itself have, in this report, said that it will establish a unit in Parliament that that would track the implementation of resolutions. And obviously the reports here is part of that, tracking reports. So I think we need to decide how we're going to move forward. If this is completed today, if not, the suggestion is we move out there, go out there and then be part of this tracking process to compile a final report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there something that needs clarity on your side? Or, well,
yeah. The Honourable Member Bloom talks about the abolishment of the one RINA. Maybe we need clarity on this so that we know. When the Executive Council takes this resolution, we report to NCOP, we come to NCOP to motivate why should there be Section 139 in a municipality. And we are here to present our exit report, which is long overdue because we exited this municipality on the 30th of September 2010. So we were out. We're coming back here to present an exit report, and we appreciate the sentiments of honorable members here around having to investigate this matter further, and especially this one of Podolsky. Even if it can go to law enforcement agencies, we welcome that. The issue of the forensic investigation, Chair, I explained even earlier on when we were here that, and the committee felt, this was basically the committee's recommendation, that the fact that my MEC was the executive mayor of this district, we cannot conduct this forensic ourselves, but we should hand over this KPMG scoping report, which we had done, where we had identified issues to be investigated, hand it over to COCTA National, and the Minister of COCTA should proceed with the forensic investigation. And what we say is done, Chair, which is a copy that we can provide, is the KPMG scoping report. And the National Minister has not made any follow-up, as far as I know, to finalize the forensic on Thabo Mfutsanya. So that is the part that I thought we should be able to clear, Chairperson. Honourable Member asked as to whether we have been able to fill the positions that were critical there. We've indicated that we have been able to deal with that process. At the end of the tail, one post was only remaining, which is the post of the LED manager, which was also filled subsequently after we had terminated the intervention at that level. So basically the structure of the municipality is there. The new municipality is setting up also its new structure. So because of the new structure, there could be one or two vacancies that may be new, given the new mandates that they are taking over since beyond the elections of May. Thanks, Chair.
No, Chairperson, that is why I said, in terms of what we have indicated to them, you know, a lot of things have been done. The reality of the matter is that only thing that is outstanding, and he has clearly explained what has happened, you see. And I've indicated earlier that our experience, having moved out of Thabo Mfutsane to other municipalities, we realize that forensic investigations do not assist the male municipalities. That's when we realize. That is why in the Northwest, in Mpumalanga, we recommended that the Hawks come in immediately. And that is why there are differences that have been made in those specific provinces, precisely because you don't have forensic, because, you know, these are auditors. What they want to do is to delay the whole matter and just make money through counsel. That's what they do. And that's the point I'm raising, Chair. And I'm just saying, my view is that we uplift, go to counsel, and that's my personal view. We uplift, engage with counsel on this specific matter, and then in terms of our own recommendation here, that let the Hawks start the investigations. So I'm not sure. Maybe the province can lead their charge, national can lead their charge, whoever can lead, so that an investigation moves in immediately, you know, so that we clear this particular matter. we clear this, because the reason why I'm saying let us do this is because even after the intervention, you know, a lot of things have happened, you know, which of which they have been clarified by the former municipal manager, you know, and it's on those basis, because we're not sure, the case is still on an appeal, you know, we're not sure as to how many millions are going to be lost through that particular process again, you see, and that is the situation that we're calling for this investigation.
Chair, I feel this Honorable Matila, that this is the new council, and there is no proof that so far it is failing in its executive obligation. So I agree that we support the issue of upliftment, but pursue those issues that are stated.
Honorable Blue.
Thanks, Chair. Upliftment of what? Because the DG was just saying now, they have already uplifted, they are out. That is what you have said. So, upliftment of what?
Oh, let me go back again, so that maybe we are able to be together on this matter. What we are doing here, we are assessing the work of a provincial executive authority, which has to come to the NCOP from time to time, whether it's Section 139 or out. It's not necessarily permission to. It's whether we are satisfied they meet the requirement. If they meet the requirement in terms of all those terms of reference that we received when we were there, in terms of the law, they say minimum standard, not necessarily all. If we are satisfied, we can say you uplift. If we are not satisfied, already they have uplifted, what is our view? You can't then go and say reintroduced, because we don't have authority to do that. That's the basic thing. Are we satisfied that they meet the minimum, even if they are out? The record must state that they come from the NCOP to present. That is the exercise that we are doing. They came to present, even if they are late, they must come to the NCOP to present. The point that I think members are raising, which is critical, which we cannot leave, is this question of this money that are paid to debt collectors, which are sort of seems to be inconsistent with Public Finance Management Act or Municipal Finance Management Act. That's the issue that we're saying. We can't leave it out. We need to go there. And we must open a case if we have power as the NCOP to pursue this matter. And I said we might not be able, myself personally, we may not be able to adjudicate the matter to a situation where we can agree now. And this is an agreement, this is right, this is wrong. It's a process matter. Hence we are saying if that is the case. The recommendation that must come out of this committee is that we are saying, well, we can agree with termination in terms of the past experiences, but we are not accepting this thing to hang without being concluded as a matter of, I don't know whether it's corruption, perceived corruption, allegation, or something like that. And I said, this matter, we are pursuing a case. Let it be in the record of the committee that we are pursuing a case. We recommend to the House that we want this matter to be pursued by a special investigative committee, Hawks or whatever, because we will realize indeed that forensic audit always eating our state money from time to time. You are creating jobs for whatever entities that, at the end of the day, it will eat your money and there will be no conclusion. But these other security issues are able to advance, whether they arrest whatever, it's a matter of law. So that's where I think we are now. So in terms of termination, already they are out, and then the step that must happen is that they must come to the committee, appear before the committee. This is how we terminate it. If the committee satisfied it, that they meet the minimum requirement, if that is the case, the law says yes. That's where we are. It's not that I'm not a committee, I'm a chair, and then I don't have authority over the decision.
Chair, I think in as far as this particular matter is concerned, I think we have close to the matter. And I think in terms of the way we have agreed, I know I assume Member Bloom will talk out that. I'm going to persuade him for us to make sure that the hawks are there. Member Bloom. The hawks will come. I'm going to persuade him with that, and that's how we are going to move forward, TJ. And I think there's been someone else that's moving in that direction. No, we're saying this must happen within the next 7 days, Chair.
Are we agreeing?
I will agree with the last sentence that you have made within 7 days, and I want it to be recorded that the law enforcement agencies, the Hawks, must start working in 7 days. Then I will agree.
Why don't we add the public protector to also assist in this yet?
Chair, we agree with you.
So that, yeah, I think the collective institution of security enforcement can assist them. Agreed then. First stage, we are agreeing. Thank you very much. This matter within 7 days, at least we should get the report that the public protector is coming, the Hawks is coming, whatever. But we also want to say, where is our community setup? We want a visit. A visit to Free State. Check their program. Honorables, I was saying this must check a program to arrange a visit. We got there. But there, we need to deal many, many stakeholders that would assist on this matter.
Rider, on this thing, I've just consulted with my colleague. I think that we must ask the national minister with the issue of the Hawks. The national office must do it. They can't do it because it affects them. That is my proposal.
Chair, I want to second that the national. It must happen. A letter must go to from this after we've adopted it in the House, must go to the National Minister to say, within this period, the National Minister must also know that within 7 days, this case must have been opened. This committee must write a letter to the public protector around Thabo Mfutshwanyane, and then ask the public protector to investigate that particular matter. Thank you, Chair.
Just for the amendment, it's not this committee, it's the House Chair. That will do that.
House Chair, Chair.
We don't have authority. The House Chair will technically deal with all the other issues. Yeah. After adoption, they know they have legal advisor. Yeah. Therefore, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Free State. Thank you. You are terminated. Thank you very much. Then we'll go to. We fly now to Northwest. We are from Free State now to go to Northwest. Thank you very much.
So the other report we are presenting on much
happy. Oh, is it?
So
is it true?
We can have Northwest and then we can deal with much
happy. But then go to issues that you have met. Don't go to the entire thing. Go to critical issues that we would want.
Oh, you want me to deal with my
shelf? The 106. It's just an update. I don't remember us going to. Was this section 139?
No.
Okay, let's do this. Precisely because it's not section 139. It's section 106 where the MEC investigated whatever he was investigating. I think I would require the House to know and approve it. It's not Section 139, it's much heavier. I'm sure it's pre-2009 issues. Or I don't know. We have never went to much heavier as this committee. And also it's Section 106, which is which is the investigation by the MEC, discretionary and whatever. I'm not sure. We can listen, but I thought we would.
No, Chair. I would agree with you that we note, so that we can go through this particular report. If there are issues that we want to raise later, we can always do so. We just note and accept the report.
Yeah, can I just put on record, Chair, that I have provided, besides the presentation that we are going to make, the full report of the Section 106, and also the forensic investigation that went with that, because it was part of that. So we have provided you with copies as the chairperson. Members, we provided only with the presentation.
But I would also further suggest that as you come to Section 46, is it Section 46? That one, where we engage with the local state of local government, whatever, it can be presented as part of the provincial report of local government status, that one. That would cover us, because you would want to deal with 1-3 lines that we have sort of engaged with.
Okay.
Thank you very much. These people didn't. Thank you, Free State. I don't know, is there a tree around? So that after being penal beaten in their home, they will get home, and so that you go back.
We'll get this report that he's saying that he has submitted to you. That report.
Given the church president, the section 106 and the forensic.
Yeah. And what else?
But I think that the member is right. We also need the KPMG report. The KPMG report. Tabong Futsang. Yes. In Tabong Futsang. Of the KPMG.
I'm the chief director in the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs.
Okay, Jody. All right. I think we are going back to tell HOD and the MEC to say it is unfortunate you cannot continue presenting, particularly knowing the dynamics of Ngatamudirimolelo, without HOD or MEC or both. I think that would be unfortunate. But we said the mayor, the speaker, the chief must come, would want to seriously welcome you and thank you very much for being present, because you came according to the letter. But of more important things, the things of termination, the person that alpha is not you, because you are sort of put under those situations by the HOD, by the provincial department, and therefore we need to face them. We also welcome the chief director, who would assist in one way or another, but it's unfortunate that we are very much sympathetic. You need to reorganize yourself and come either with HOD or MEC or both, or and yourself. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.